Welcome to Create the Movement podcast. Create the Movement is an online marketing team focused on collaborating with law firms and businesses nationwide. Visit us at createthemovement.com to discover how we can help you create a movement. This week, I'm very excited to be interviewing Johnny Price. Johnny Price is the owner of the Philosophy Tree in downtown Tulsa. He's also our personal trainer here at the office and works me out often, and he's got a lot of great insight. Let's get started. We're sitting with Johnny Price. How are you, Johnny?
Good, buddy.
We're just going to be talking really about the Philosophy Tree. First question really is just if you could kind of tell us your story. How did you get...
As a kid, I was always an athlete. I competed in just about every sport you could think of as a kid. I mean, I was a baseball player, I played football, I ran track, I raced BMX, I raced motorcycles. I mean, if there was a sport out there, I did it. You know, probably the only thing I really didn't play a whole lot of as a kid was basketball. Okay. As I got a little bit older, I did, but not as competitive because I hadn't played it as long. Other than that, I mean, all sports I played, if I was around it, I played something. Mm-hmm. And I was a total statistician as a kid. I don't care if I was 8, 10, 11 years old. If there was a sport and I watched it, I knew who the best players were, what their stats were, whether it was tennis or golf or baseball or whatever. I was just that kid, you know. So always pretty much been consumed with athletics and the idea of that. It was about probably 11 or 12 years old that I saw my first bodybuilding magazine at a convenience store. And, you know, you have several different versions that are out there now, but, you know, even 20 years ago you had a larger version. You have a lot of magazines that are no longer in publication that were in publication back then. And, you know, every month I couldn't wait for the new ones to come out to see what meets, you know, had taken place and who had won and what new workouts were in there. So even before I ever started working out, I was very consumed with the idea of working out with weights and bodybuilding at that time. I really hadn't got into powerlifting yet or even knew of powerlifting. All I knew was bodybuilding at that time. I followed everyone for years. And then when I think I was about 14 years old, I think it's when I got my first concrete, the old plastic concrete set of weights.
Mm-hmm. And
so I had a friend, a girl in my ninth grade class who had bought me a set for my birthday. Mm-hmm. And who, that was my first set that I ever had.
So were you kind of a skinny,
skinny skinny and fat.
Okay.
And so I worked out all the time at home. Of course, I was playing football. So in off-season football, you know, once I got into my sophomore year, we worked out, you know, in the off-season as well. So, you know, once I got, you know, into my 10th grade year, then we had access to steel weights and things like that. So okay. I kind of put the old stuff aside. But I still worked out at home quite a bit when I could. And then one day I just happened to run across a guy who was doing some assistant strength training coaching at our high school, a guy named Ricky Crane, who was a 5-time world powerlifting champion, 10-time national champion. And that was the first time I ever really recognized what powerlifting was. And it pretty much changed the game for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I was no longer interested in bodybuilding. I wanted to be a strength athlete.
Okay.
And so as I got older, I continued to work out with weights, played football, and started training with Ricky. And he invited me to come over to his gym and train with some of the guys that he trained with and just kind of learn his system. And the thing about powerlifting that I liked was it's very scientific. You know, there's an approach to that so that you maximize your efficiency levels. There's a periodization system, a cycling system where, you know, your workouts are based on a certain percentage. Mm-hmm. So every week it's 70%, 75%, 80% as you work your way up over maybe a 3-month training cycle till you max out, then you drop back down, you work your way back up. So it's always kind of a revolving stepping pattern up and down each cycling period. You're hoping to exceed your previous lifts by 5, 10, 15, 20 pounds. So it was really at that time that I kind of got consumed with that and learning that system. Part of the system I learned from him, I still use to this day as far as the periodization methods and the cycling system. Now I changed it over the years, and I think it's a little bit better as far as the volume that we create compared to back then. We really didn't create a lot of volume of what I mean is we didn't integrate a lot of high rep training into our strength system. We integrate a lot of high rep training on the lighter end. So we're working more volume and endurance as we're building strength levels. So that's one of the main things that we changed over the years. And so, you know, as I got older and started competing, you know, it was one of those things where I just loved doing. I loved competing. I loved seeing how far I could take, you know, my body and push it to certain limits. And competing in bench press meets or competing in three left meets, which is the squat, the bench press, and the deadlift. And so, you know, I did that for years. I haven't competed in a few years as of late. But I still train to this day just like I would if I was going to meet. I mean, I hit all my lifts, my back squat, my deadlifts, my bench press. I accessorize and, you know, make sure I hit all my assistance movements as well. And, you know, even though I'm not competing as much, I still train as if I was going to meet. So if one popped up, I'm always going to be in pretty good condition. You would always like to have about a three-month training cycle, you know, a good 12-week period in which you can train. You know, a lot of times, one of the problems that you get with a lot of gyms around here and even maybe some in Texas or Arkansas that will send out flyers to Oklahoma is they don't give you enough time to train. You know, you get a flyer in the mail 2 weeks before a meet. You really haven't had time to train properly. But when you're training for a meet, you really want a good three-month training cycle. So that way you can start at the very bottom, work your way up, peak at the right time. It's no different than if you were going to train for the Olympics or the Nationals or anything like that. It's all about peaking at the right time so you can maximize your results.
Okay. So after high school, did you go into college, played
football for a couple of years, okay. Had a slight knee injury that kind of put me back for about a year.
Okay.
And, you know, you have a small window when you're playing sports. Right. You always have new people coming up. It's just easy to get out of the system. And, you know, growing up, I loved football probably more than any sport that I ever played besides, you know, powerlifting. I loved the idea of being out on the field and playing. But I was okay with walking away from it, you know, after playing for a couple of years and really devoting myself to powerlifting. I really wanted to see, you know, what I was capable of and what my physical limits were. And so that's one thing that I really, really pushed forward at that time. I was still working for Ricky at that time. And what I used to do is I used to deliver to Oklahoma State University, the University of Oklahoma. I would deliver them all their protein drinks, all their supplement drinks on weekends. Then I would hit all the big powerlifting gyms and Gold's Gym and all those places in Oklahoma City on my weekend route. And then Ricky at that time, he was still competing and he was still winning national championships and competing in Worlds. But he and I would do, I would go with him when he would do little strength seminars. And he was a devout Christian fella. Mm-hmm. And so we would go to these little local churches in different towns and we would set up equipment and he would, you know, preach a little bit and do some lifting and things like that. And so I was one of the few guys that trained with him that did some of that other stuff with him.
Okay.
A lot of the guys didn't like to do it, but I was always pretty cool with going and helping him out. And I was like a sponge back then. I just wanted to learn as much as I could. He was a well-respected champion. Mm-hmm. And about 5 years ago, Powerlifting USA, which at one time was probably one of the only major powerlifting magazines in the entire world, ranked him the number one 165-pound powerlifter of all time.
Oh, really?
So it was really cool. Nice. to train under him and learn how to train right. And there's a big thing that we implement to this day, and what we do is how you train. If we come into the gym all the time and we're training, but we're not training efficiently, then we're really hindering our results. So, you know, we really want to make sure that we have people on the right track so that, you know, as their efficiency level goes up, their body mechanics work with the weights better versus kind of fighting against that, you're going to optimize your ability to gain results and less injury and all those things that kind of go hand in hand. So I really learned a lot from him as far as being technical with our movements, you know, pushing your knees out when you squat, keeping a nice vertical position, push your chest out. You know, when you're deadlifting, push your feet through the floor, keep your head up, you know. You know, you're working on balance. You want the bar as close to the body as you can so the bar is in line with the body. If you let the bar get too far away, your hips come up, and then, you know, you're more susceptible to injury. Just small things like that that a lot of people don't think of. But, you know, the technical aspect of that, once you get that down, it's a game changer for you to be able to see what you're capable of doing in the long run.
When did you decide to start kind of doing training on your own?
When I was in college, was when I got my first training job.
Okay.
And I worked at a place called Kegels USA Fitness, which was in Midwest City, Oklahoma.
Okay.
And I spent a semester there making up some grades at a place called Rose State College. college.
Okay, yeah.
And so I lived there with some buddies, and they were playing for the baseball team there, and and I just needed a job, so I went and applied, and they hired me. So I spent probably a year working there, and even when I was living in Edmond, I was still driving to Midwest City, and then they had another location around 51st Street, Northwest 51st area, that I ended up going to after that. So I worked for Kegels for a while, off and on. I worked at All American Fitness. They had a location in Oklahoma City off Northwest Expressway, so I worked there as well. And so, you know, I was training even in school, and I liked it. You know, I obviously didn't know what I knew then, but I knew I had the desire, and I was willing to learn, and I thought I was a pretty good trainer back then. I never wanted to be a clipboard trainer, you know, one of those guys with a clipboard, and I'm just writing numbers down. I really wanted to teach people, and I think maybe sometimes you know, you use the word trainer, but I think you're really more of a coach, you know, because you're coaching people how to do things properly. You know, it's just not a matter of, okay, Brad, sit down and give me 10 reps here and give me 10 reps over here, and I'm writing your numbers down or whatever. And, you know, I'm more of a coach, really. You know, I'm coaching you to how to lift efficiently, how to exercise at a higher level, and all those things. So it's kind of a combination of both, I guess you'd say.
Well, tell us a little bit about the philosophy tree. Like, what makes the philosophy tree different?
You know, when we opened up, or when I opened up my first gym 10 years ago or so.
Here in Tulsa?
Here in Tulsa, yeah. We were in Midtown for 6 or 7 years before we moved to downtown. And we were down there for a little over 2 years before we moved to our current location. So it's been around 10 years altogether. And at that time, we were called Johnny Price and Health and Strength Training Systems. And it was a good little setup. We were in a great location. But, you know, when you're looking at the system that you buy into, you know, you're basically, what I did is I bought a gym that I was already training at. The guy was going to retire. And so it was one of those things where I had basically too many clients to go somewhere else and train. So you really have an option at that point, you know, to do something else or buy a place and really nurture, you know, your craft. And so that's what I really chose to do at that time. You know, as far as what we wanted as our vision was, you know, CrossFit was really coming on over the last 6 or 7 years, you know, and everybody was jumping on the CrossFit bandwagon. And even though I love a lot of the concepts of that, there's a lot of things that I think offer a better reward or just as good with less risk factor. So what we wanted to do was still train people at the highest level, but be very particular about the exercise that we use, so that we're still training you as efficient as you're going to get trained anywhere, but there's also less risk. And if there's less risk, then you're not susceptible to injury, and then we're keeping you going better, you know. And so we really picked and choose what exercises that we wanted to use and which ones we thought weren't as important. You know, I think that it's really cool if you can go over there and flip upside down and do handstand push-ups. You know, you're really working the delts, and that's great. But there's also a lot of injury or susceptibility to injury as far as your wrists and things like that from being in that position, when there are other exercises that can give you the same reward without the risk. So that's just kind of an example of where we were really picking and choosing what exercises that we wanted to do and which ones we wanted to kind of hold off. You know, we definitely want to train our compound movements, whether or not you use a powerlifting term or a strength training term or an Olympic lifting term. I think sometimes people kind of get afraid when you start mentioning those things. But, you know, basically they're very simple movements. When they're done correctly, really there's not a lot of susceptibility to injury unless you're just lifting way too heavy and your form is off. So, again, there's we're coaching and teaching people how to do things properly. There's the benefit from that. You know, the thing about a compound movement is that you're working many muscle groups together at one time. Whether you're squatting or deadlifting, you're doing power cleans, or you're bench pressing or push pressing, or you know, any of those major movements, you know, they're really overall, they build the best strength foundation. And even a person that's not interested in powerlifting or bodybuilding or anything like that still needs a basic foundation of strength. Statistics show that people who are stronger live longer. You know, it helps with your bone density. People who are arthritic or have other issues like that, they do really well when they resist some strain. So there's a lot of benefits from that. So in some ways, you know, that's probably the core of our foundation, and the basis is the strength training. But one thing that we don't sacrifice is we won't sacrifice your conditioning for strength. We want to make sure that your conditioning is good also. So we're never going to, our desire is never to build strong people who are unhealthy or that don't have conditioning. Conditioning is always first with us, but we back that up extensively with our strength training so that you have a combination of both. If you look at what the best athletes in the world do, you know, whether or not you're a soccer player, you're a baseball player, you're a football player, whatever, strength and conditioning is the basis of what they do. They build everything around that. So basically, you know, we do something very similar. You know, we want to give you the best foundation on which you can build anything. So if you want to go out and, you know, go play frisbee golf all day long, or you want to go play tennis, or you want to go run around, you know, you have the strength and the conditioning to allow you to do all those things because you've been trained at a nice level.
Right. So the one thing I wanted to talk about is just you have a kind of a different way of training. That a new client comes to see you.
The one thing that we always wanted to do a little bit differently, and this is getting back to being just a standard clipboard trainer, mm-hmm. or, you know, teaching our clients how to exist at a higher level physically, mm-hmm. you know. And so, you know, one thing that we try to do with coaching and teaching is, you know, give them the tools that they need, whether they train with us or not, to go out and maintain all those things, even on their own down the road. You know, some people need that accountability. They actually want it. And there's some people that want to learn. They want to be able to go out and do their own thing, or they may relocate and they may not have the ability to train. So what we teach them are things that they can take with them. So it's always been real important for us to be able to do that. I think another thing that a lot of people sometimes overlook as far as training and where you're at is the facility in which you train in. I think it's very important that, you know, it has a very good vibe to it. I don't necessarily agree with or like what CrossFitters do when they call their gyms boxes. You know, it's, to me, it just kind of generalizes what you're doing. Oh, yeah, we're going to go train at our box today. And, you know, for us, it's a lot more than just a box. And I'm not saying they mean that in a degrading way. It's a term that they use. But, you know, really for us, it's something a whole lot more than that because we spend so much time there and our clients spend so much time there. You know, really, it's like a second home. And everybody that you know over time or you see every morning or every afternoon, you know, over a while, it almost becomes kind of like a family, you know. And you have people rooting you on, or, you know, I have people that will come in and go, man, I've been watching that person over there for 6 months, and they've really come a long way. And, you know, I've had people that end up networking and doing business together and things like that. So there's actually a lot of things that can evolve from being in the right atmosphere. And so for us, in a way, it's always been kind of a zen haven for us. You know, we wanted people to come in and feel very comfortable in that environment and kind of feel like it's a place of peace. Mm-hmm. It may seem like contradictory a little bit when you're talking about going and getting your butt kicked really hard and finding some peace and all that. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes if you can walk into an environment that you just kind of feel at home, it kind of makes it easier to have the other end happen as well. You know, right. So, you know, we want people to walk in. We want them to enjoy where they're at, enjoy the facility. Now, you know, ours, unlike a lot of other places, has a very urban feel with the concrete floors, mm-hmm. and the brick walls, and, you know, our building's 102 years old, right. or 108 years old. And yeah. So, you know, it's not like it's a brand new shiny building, but we kind of like that urban raw feel to it. Mm-hmm. We haven't been able to transition quite as much yet compared to our last facility as far as getting some of the art and the mural going like we wanted to. Some of that stuff we've had to put on hold. But, you know, in the next 6-8 months or so, we hope to get back on board with continuing to kind of foster and create that environment, which we feel is important.
Mm-hmm. What inspires you?
I think helping people more than anything, and I know that it's probably a cliche term that most trainers use, you know, I just want to help people, you know, but I think if you can help change someone's life, the quality of their life, the longevity of their life, that's a really cool thing to be able to do. There are so many people that are so caught up in living and working every day at such a fast pace that we really lose sight of how important our life is. I mean, if we can just kind of step back for just a moment and think about life and what that entails and what a gift that is, you know, our quality and the desire to have that longevity should be at the forefront of everything that we do. I mean, it's the life that we've been blessed with.
Right.
So I think sometimes we're so busy with the hustle and bustle that we actually just lose sight of, I'm alive. I'm a living person. I'm living and breathing and thinking, and I'm being creative. I'm bringing children into this world, and what an amazing thing and gift that is. And so, I think we've become a very unhealthy nation. Yeah, on one end, we may have some of the best athletes in the world, but we're also the most obese nation. The state that we live in is one of the most obese states that we live in. And so, you know, if we can help people kind of reprogram their brain a little bit to how important, you know, exercise and nutrition can be to extending their life, that's a really cool thing. And, you know, we get to do it in our own environment, the way that we do it, and foster relationships. And I think that's really separates us a little bit is because we're very passionate about that.
That's good. Who would you say is your ideal client?
Someone who's committed. I think that with anything, your commitment level sets the tone. If I'm not committed at my job, I'm probably not going to keep it very long.
Right.
Eventually, someone's going to, you know, terminate me. They're going to bring someone else who's more committed, has better desire and a willingness to learn, things like that. If my relationship, I'm not committed to that, I'm probably not going to be in it very long. And so, you know, your commitment to anything will determine a lot as far as the outcome goes. And so we really have to be committed in all facets of our life to kind of reap those rewards that we hope to get. If we hope to find the love of our life, you know, we have to do the right things. And it may be living a certain way, having certain values, getting a certain education. All these things, in the end, may lead you to the person you always hope to be with, you know, and then have the family that you want. You know, your education and how you study in school may set the tone of you getting the job that you've always wanted. And so I think all those things have a chain reaction on how you're able to affect people and change people's lives for the better. And so with that commitment level, I think that it's nice to be able to see someone change. We have a client who's been with us now for about 6 or 7 months. She's lost almost 60 pounds.
Oh, wow.
You know, so being able to watch her change and progress over 6 months and lose, you know, 60 pounds, I mean, she's basically lost a little person. Mm-hmm. You know, she went from wearing a size 28 down to a size 16 or something right now, and she still wants to lose another 30 or 40 more pounds, you know. And she's pretty tall, probably not quite as tall as Stacy, but she's pretty tall, so she carries it pretty well. But again, you know, being able to see what consistency can do, that also inspires other people, because they're like, wow, if I was that consistent, look where I would be now.
Yeah.
You know, the past month, you know, or 2 or 3 or 5 months, you may have clients that aren't making it 3 days a week, they're only making it once a week, or, you know, they may make it twice 1 week and miss a week. And so they're never really fulfilling those things that they want because their consistency level is off. And if they can look at someone that is consistent and see that, it might inspire them to kind of pick their game up a little bit.
Right. That's good. What can people, or what could your ideal client expect by going through training with you?
I think hopefully results. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that, you know, you're paying for a service, you know. We've always tried to not have that drill sergeant approach. You know, there are certain clients that kind of like being pushed hard, but a lot of times it's about us setting things in motion and watching you play that out. You know, I'm watching you from 30 feet away or 20 feet away from across the gym as I'm over here with this person or over there with that person, kind of moving around from person to person, just making sure that you are moving all the time. Because what we want to do is we want to make sure that you're keeping your heart rate up so that it's at aerobic level. We want to make sure that you're moving constantly and that you're not stagnant. You know, there's going to be occasions when there might be a transition period. You might be down a minute or two, but overall, the idea is to keep you moving the whole time. If you're moving the whole time, you're burning more calories. You're keeping your heart rate up, your aerobic heart rate up. You know, in conjunction with the resistance training, where we're building bone density, you know, we're creating a better person in a physical sense. And so if we can help people do that, it also helps people sometimes who may not have the confidence to go out into the world, you know, because they're a little more apprehensive. And so if we can help change them physically too, it might give them the confidence they need to go out and apply for that job they wouldn't apply for, or step out in the world and live a little bit more when they wouldn't. So again, there's a lot of ramifications on a positive note that can happen just by making small changes in your life.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Create the Movement podcast. Visit us at createthemovement.com to discover how we can help you create a movement.